I am Madison Timmons.
I'm Chris Susie.
And we're paranormal specialists who live in the most haunted city on Earth, Savannah, Georgia. Every day is Halloween in our line of work, so join us as we spin true tales of haunts, murders, and disturbing Savannah history. I'm Madison.
I'm Chris.
And welcome to the most haunted city on Earth. Hello, and welcome back to another episode of The Most Haunted City on Earth. My name is Madison Timmons.
I'm Chris Susie.
And I'm JT. You don't see me on YouTube because I have back pain.
And so he's standing.
I have to stand.
While we're recording this, we slowly pan upwards to JT.
He's got his elbows.
Yeah, you can just trust that he's there.
He's there.
Yes.
And so he'll be there to make commentary on
this. Disembodied voice.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So today's episode, we are going to be discussing, apparently a topic that y'all really seem to enjoy is time slips.
There you go.
It's a very fascinating concept, and we didn't realize that y'all liked it so much until we saw the analytics, and we're like, okay, apparently this is a topic they want to know more about.
Yeah, we got to explore it.
Yeah, so we're going to discuss that, but before we get into it, we want to thank some para junkies, some new para junkies. So we want to thank, they just changed their name on Patreon, so it'll be different in this episode. But Mimi, hopefully I pronounced that right, because it's M exclamation point, M exclamation point. Then
could be
MM. And then Kirsten Nichols, then Laura Sleeper, Sky J, and Juanita, a.k.a. Boom.
Oh.
Very nice. So thank you guys so much for becoming para junkies.
Yes.
If you want to become a para junkie, you know where to find us by now.
Become one of us.
Join us.
We have candy.
Yes.
The more para junkies we get, the more likely it is we'll be sent to some place that will harm us.
Well,
yeah.
When we hit 140, which is going to happen fairly soon, we're going to Waverly Hills.
Not soon enough. We're still like 14 away.
Yes.
Like we need.
Call your friends and say, hey, we want to send these people to a haunted location.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I have big dreams for this brand and this podcast. We need to get the Patreon is it actually is the way we support this thing. Mm-hmm. Like seriously, it gets us new equipment that we need, subscriptions, all that stuff. So
yes. And if you're looking to become an ultra para junkie, up until Halloween, you are going to be able to get the super exclusive spooky merch that only the Ultra Para Junkies are getting.
That's right. And we're not going to say that it grants you superpowers, but we're not going to say it doesn't grant you superpowers.
It's limited edition and designed for the specific person.
Yes. So if that is something you're interested in, definitely consider becoming an Ultra Para Junkie.
Ultra,
as well.
Ultra, Ultra.
Yes.
But don't just join for a month to get it because it actually costs more than a tier. So
yeah.
we'd really lose that.
Yeah, don't cancel afterwards.
Interesting.
So. Yes.
I begin to see a flaw in this plan.
Right.
No, I just thought about that. I'm like, wait a minute.
Dude.
But yes. Okay. So anywho though, not saying that any of our para junkies have done that, because once you get there, you're never gonna want to leave, right?
No, it's true. We barely
that doesn't sound
ever.
Cult-like at all.
I don't mean it in that way.
When Ultra Para Junkies come, they don't leave. That's the truth. Uh-huh. They're some of our most committed.
We just had a few hit 1 year with us on Patreon,
Straight
which is super
up.
Cool. Anywho. Let's go ahead and dive into time slips. Yes. So what is a time slip? A time slip is a paranormal or unexplained phenomenon where a person claims to have momentarily or temporarily experienced a time period different from their own, usually without any evidence of time travel. These experiences often come as sudden and unexpected shifts in perceived reality, and those who experience them may feel as though they've stepped momentarily into the past or less commonly future.
It's very rare that it's the future.
Right. It's usually people are stepping back into like the 1800s or the 20s or things like that. Now, while the concept has been a staple of science fiction, folklore, and paranormal literature for years, there's no scientific evidence to support the existence of time slips. But
what?
I know, right? I have to say these things because sometimes, you know, people are like, you believe in crazy things. You're delusional. But it's, again, everything in paranormal is theory and based on people's experiences. And we are not here to debunk things. We are not here to say some people's experiences are wrong or not true and things like that. We just present them and you can make your own decision on what you believe from there. But there is no scientific evidence that proves this. But also science, I don't think, really is interested. And
I think there are like quantum physics will be the field in which something like this would be examined.
Yeah.
So, you know, there are plenty of avenues for this type of anomaly to be at least explored. And again, theoretically, the concept of, you know, energy not being able to be dispersed or destroyed. And what does that mean when we talk about time? How do we even categorize time as a condition? Because at best, time is just entropy. At worst, it's a prison that we're trapped in. And until we can break from it, we will, you know, have to carry the load of trudging day by day.
Exactly.
Yep.
So we're going to go over some of the hot spots, if you will, and some of the experiences that have happened. So the first one is going to be Bold Street in Liverpool. Which, by the way, apparently, if you want to experience a time slip, go to the UK because they they got some hot spots for it.
But that's a perfect place. Well, is it, what's that time travel show from the UK that's super popular with people?
Doctor Who.
That's it. That's the one.
What's
that? Chris is.
Lord, the man knows all the Pokemon, but he's having a hard time drawing upon Doctor Who. It's only been around since 1963.
I don't think
he's even seen any of the Doctor Who episodes.
Very limited things in this world that interest me, but my interests are very, very strong. So,
like Pokemon.
Yes.
Fair enough.
So, anywho.
It's fair.
JT will tell you about every single Pokemon that you could ever want if you ever want to get in a Discord with him on that. But
All the originals, yeah.
Yes. But anywho.
Gyarados Life.
Gyarados Life.
Hashtag Gyarados Life.
Anyway, so Bold Street in Liverpool, England is said to be a hotspot for time slips. Several accounts from the 1990s and earlier describe people feeling disoriented upon entering the street, seeing unfamiliar or old-fashioned cars, people in outdated clothing, and stores that no longer existed.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
In some stories, the person realizes that they might be in a different time when they notice a store that had closed long ago, but appears open and operational.
Oh.
So the Bold Street time slip incidents mostly occurred in the mid-20th century. And so let me tell you some of the most famous accounts. One of the most cited stories occurred in 1996. A man named Frank was shopping with his wife in Liverpool. He decided to visit the Waterstones bookstore, which if you've ever been to the UK or if you live in the UK, because I know we do have a few listeners, Waterstones is kind of like...
We have hundreds upon possibly thousands in the UK.
Okay, well, then y'all know. No. Sorry, I don't look at these analytics, so JT can tell me exactly. But yes, so.
Love our UK listeners.
But Waterstone is like a Barnes & Noble sort of deal. It's not really like a, it's not like a small bookshop. So it's, you'd notice if like your Barnes & Noble started, you know, switching to some old-fashioned sort of style. Just saying. Putting it in perspective for our American and Canadian listeners. This store was on Bold Street, and as he was about to cross the road to get to the store, he suddenly noticed that everything had changed. The road seemed different, and the cars were outdated. Even the people around him were dressed in 1950s-style clothing.
Yo.
Confused, he looked around and saw a shop named Cripps, C-R-I-P-P-S, which he didn't recognize. However, when he turned to speak to his wife, she had disappeared. Moments later, everything returned to normal. Upon further investigation, Frank discovered that Cripps was indeed a store on Bold Street, but it had been there in the 1950s.
Yo.
This was in 96. So, long, long time ago at that
point. That's interesting.
Yeah.
That's super interesting.
It is. It's super interesting. And,
to make it even more interesting is that it is not the only account from this street.
Mm-hmm.
And from, people having similar occurrences all on the same street, all, you know, kind of in the same pattern of 1 minute they're in present day and the next they're, you know, somewhere else entirely, you know, some 40 years in the past. I think that's endlessly fascinating.
Oh,
that,
yeah.
That multiple people mm-hmm. will come up with the same kind of the weirdest thing happened.
So it makes you wonder if that street just happens to cross through a ripple.
Oh, sure.
Of sorts. And we'll get into more of that sort of theory and stuff.
I have a theory about that, but I'll wait.
But you see, it's not uncommon for people to be fascinated by certain locations. Easter Island has always been considered mm-hmm. a place where time travel can happen. Outlander, actually, I believe, uses Stonehenge.
Stonehenge is a big...
And
Stonehenge has always been such a mystery, and people have theorized the many reasons why Stonehenge was built and its purpose. Mm-hmm. And I think that most people will conclude that it is lined up with the stars to suggest that it's some kind of calendar thing, which is about measuring time. So if it were a place for, like, a time ripple, it mm-hmm. makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
For sure.
And if I have not read or watched Outlander, my parents are just obsessed with it. So correct me if I'm wrong, y'all, if it was not Stonehenge. But it's something of along those lines where she touches the stone and then suddenly she's sent back in time. And she's able to live this whole double life and
right.
things
she,
like that.
Right, she travels through time. And I have not watched it either. But it does seem to be a like 1940s woman who goes back to like... You know,
the early times of Celtic.
1700s, actually. Yeah. Something in there. I don't know. Men in kilts. Steamy show.
Yes.
Steamy.
It is. Lots of sexy people.
We've heard, because none of us have seen it.
Yeah, we have not seen it. So,
I'm just,
so for all we know.
We are giving
yeah.
our rating.
No.
10 out of 10 in the steaminess.
I mean, listen. No,
What do I know about it? Men in kilts. Steamy.
Steamy.
I just know that basic gist because my parents are absolutely obsessed with that show. Yeah, and eventually I'll get around to watching it, but I just haven't yet.
Apparently it's a very popular series of books as well.
It is.
Also, if we have any like super rich listeners, I feel like you and I, let's get together and let's open up a bookstore there where Cripps was and call it Crypts. Like Crypt.
Oh, like a crypt?
And sell horror books. Yeah. I feel like that would be bomb.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So common elements, several other stories from Bold Street share common elements. People describe a sudden feeling of disorientation, followed by the realization that their surroundings seem to be different from their current time that they're aware of. This often involves seeing older cars, outdated fashion, and storefronts that no longer exist, yada, 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 or have changed for modern times purposes. Mm. Explanations. Various theories have been proposed to explain these experiences, though none are definitive. Some suggest the individuals are experiencing intense moments of déjà vu, which I think is a little... If you've ever
identify stores that are not there in a déjà vu...
Exactly.
I agree. That's ridiculous.
Or possibly even some forms of temporal disorientation or distortion. Others believe they may be brief moments of altered consciousness where the individual's perception warps their reality temporarily. Although if you weren't alive in that time period, I could see if like somebody experiences this and they were alive in the 50s and would have been able to remember how the street looked in the 50s and suddenly they have like a moment of delusion or whatever.
Yeah, that déjà vu makes sense because you have it cataloged in your mind.
Exactly. But if you were not alive during that time period and would have had no ability to know what that street would have truly looked like, I think that's a bit confusing. But so a lot of people like to point to psychological explanations or misinterpretations of surroundings, but I think people are trying to it's too broad of a concept for our small brains to really comprehend, that I think a lot of people like to just say like, oh, it's psychology. And that's kind of how it is.
Somehow your psychological disorder allowed you to see a sign from 50 years ago.
Exactly. That you had no
idea
existed.
Read it, recognize it, and understand. It is odd. It's absolutely peculiar. But it is interesting to note that a time slip story usually goes like this. You find yourself in this other time by simply being in a position or a place, and everything is transformed. Mm-hmm. It might be a very, 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 very intense residual haunting.
Oh.
But it's also possible that all residual hauntings are, in fact, time slips.
Oh.
And what you're actually witnessing is a moment in time that has fluctuated and maybe isn't strong enough to absolutely alter your ability to be in the present. You are just witnessing a piece of time that is being, you know, held in place for whatever reason, you know, high emotional stakes or things like that. So this is where it crosses paths with the kinds of things that we do, because again, it's all theoretical. Mm-hmm. No matter how sound a person's concept and construct of how the paranormal world works or how the supernatural works, it's all conjecture. We're all kind of like, these are the elemental pieces and we put it together. But a time slip and a residual haunting, they have a lot of the same similar things.
Interesting.
Well,
that's very interesting.
There's also theories that align with astrology in the way of there's these lines that cross through the entire globe, essentially, and different people, depending on when you were born and like how your chart aligns with these lines, there are certain areas where you can benefit, you can reap certain benefits, like your career. You can do better in your career in certain areas if you're closer to these certain lines, or your love life can be better if you're closer to certain lines. So if that's a theory, I don't see why it wouldn't be a theory that there's certain lines where these time slips occur, or they're almost ripples in reality, and people are just crossing over it.
When you go into like paranormal research and you talk about these things, people are always talking about ley lines, and they're always talking about areas where ghosts have more sway, more ability to communicate. That too fits in with this idea, because time is an elusive beast. We can't completely pin down what it is. It is how we interpret the reality that we are in. But that might be a very simple matter of combined agreement of what we're experiencing. But the truth of the matter is, something that happened 100 years ago happened, right? So it's somewhere. It happened. But if you think of it as pages of a book, that 100 years is still there. It's actually a part of the same volume, right? If we're on page 120, something that's on page 5, still there. And if there was a way to accidentally step into a page tear and go back to page, you know, 15, we would see what was on page 15. So it's so bizarre that we spend a lot of our time worried about things like paying bills and you know, getting dressed in the morning, when in fact we have a very tenuous construct that suggests that reality is actually there. Most of science points to the fact that reality is less there than it is there. You know, there's 99% of all matter is not there. It's not there.
Yeah.
So we are determining that 1%, the 1% that we all accept as reality, is the predominant thing, while 99% of it is just empty. And it's probably not empty. It's just we don't get it. Mm-hmm.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I had a thought the other day, actually. I was watching this octopus, and it changed colors. And I'm like, God, if an octopus can change colors, ghosts can exist. Time slips can exist. Right?
I mean, you're having like an existential crisis right now. Well,
it's just like,
right,
it's like stupid how cool that is. And it's almost, it looks like a miracle every time they do
it. Well, and when they do it, it's so immediate.
Yeah.
You know, they can change their color
just
that easy. Well, yeah. And that's just it. The universe is very complex. All the pieces, very, very complex. And we determine that just what we can see and experience is the only thing that exists. And that is probably to our detriment. You know, the reason why we keep running aground with everything we attempt is because we ignore the vast majority of what actually is out there because we cling so tightly to what we can observe and what we can prove, when in fact there is so much more. You know, we're just scratching the surface of reality, but we cling to it. We cling to the surface.
Right. Well, and I think that's why I was kind of saying, you know, it's a lot of the people that just blatantly say, no, that's not possible, I think it's mostly because if you think about it too long, it sends you into an existential spiral.
It'll unravel.
And
So we're held together by that belief that we're solid.
Exactly. And so some people will just say, like, well, it's psychology and that's it. And because it makes you feel more comfortable.
It does.
And there's nothing wrong with that. But
no, absolutely not. Obviously, we all subscribe. We've all subscribed to the reality channel.
Exactly.
Try as we might to change the channel, it's very difficult.
Exactly. But yes, but that does not mean that the popularity of these stories has not created Bold Street as a destination for people.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And
I want to go.
You know, the fact that we have such a definitive place, you know, to be able to say this is where it happens. Because I want to say that there's a story of people running from the police, and they like turn the corner and they find themselves like in the, you know, 50s. And then all of a sudden they're back and the police are right on them because they stopped running because they're like so freaked out by this, you know, sudden alteration of time.
Wild.
That is wild.
But yes, so a lot of people do visit the area and subsequently have also reported their own experiences. And this has furthered the street's reputation as being a hotspot for time anomalies. So the next one, though, is the Versailles time slip. Now, one of the most famous time slips occurred in this particular area happened in 1901. It's not even just a modern thing.
No, no.
This has been documented for a very long of time.
I mean, 1901 is when a concept like this would be very unpopular.
It would be witchcraft.
I feel like it'd be witchcraft or something like that.
It would be super. Well, and as long as we're at the idea of 1901, every culture has folklore that bases itself in this kind of thing. Specifically, we get the Rip Van Winkle-y stories, the stories of people who disappear from this plane, and then when they return, it's 100 years later. Urushimataro, Kukulain, there's countless folklore and fairy tales and things like that where people step into fairy rings, and when they step out, they're suddenly, you know, 50 years older, but only a minute passed. So these kinds of anomalies are registered in the consciousness of people. And maybe it's just because, you know, time moves fast on us and all of a sudden we're like, why am I so old? And so they come up with these stories that kind of like explain that it was a magic thing that happened to you. But it exists so frequently in our folklore that we have to take pause and think, what were they experiencing that made them want to set this down and tell the story? You know, to tell the story of another plane. Because that's another thing, is a lot of times in these stories, they go to another plane where time works differently. You know, where an hour in the other world is 100 years in our world, or 100 years in the other world is only an hour in ours. You know, back and forth, that kind of concept that time is relative. And that doesn't jive with the reality we exist in.
Mm-hmm. So for my theory, I feel like, it's, if you've ever seen Final Destination, that's a movie about a time slip, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's exactly what it is.
Absolutely.
It's a movie about a time slip. And, you know, that actually made me think with, like, the Bold Street thing is, like, what if it's not your time for something to happen. And so they are pushed by some, you know, whether it's you believe in God or the universe or whatever, you know, maybe that is what is pushing whoever is experiencing into it to kind of give a pause and a break and then continue their life.
And that raises an interesting question, because Final Destination, people would call that a premonition movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But if you call it a time slip movie, that means maybe people's premonitions and prophecies are in fact just time slips.
Whoa.
They are actually witnessing something of the future in the present, and that time slip is registered as prophecy or premonition.
Man, right. this is getting super deep. We might see a color changing octopus or something.
Oh my God. Anyways.
Time is a color changing octopus.
It's true.
I want that on a t-shirt.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, what's interesting about the time slip in Versailles was that the two people who experienced them were academics. And again, academics aren't typically ones that are swayed very easily, but regardless, Anne Moberly and Eleanor Jourdain visited the Palace of Versailles, and they claimed to have seen people in period clothing and experience a sudden change in environment, suggesting that they had somehow slipped back into the late 18th century. Mm-hmm. They wrote a book about their experience entitled An Adventure. Mm-hmm. So the initial experience was while visiting the Palace of Versailles in France, Moberly and Jourdain decided to tour the Petit Trianon, a small chateau on the grounds that was closely associated with Queen Marie Antoinette. However, while they were looking for the entrance, they believed that they took a wrong turn and ended up walking through gardens and groves that felt oddly silent and atmospheric. They noted several figures, including a woman sketching who they later believed to be Marie Antoinette herself. Wow. And the men with heavy, flat black hats who looked to be from the late 18th century. Both women felt an overwhelming sense of gloom and oppression during their walk, and they didn't immediately discuss what they'd seen with each other, but when they did a week later, they were shocked to discover that their experiences matched. Okay. So the aftermath, they started doing research for the book, and Moberly and Jourdain began researching the history of Versailles and the Petit Trianon. They believed they had experienced ghostly remnants of events preceding the French Revolution. Their conclusions and accounts were later published in a book in 1911 titled An Adventure under the pseudonyms Elizabeth Morrison and Francis Lamont. The reception of the book attracted significant attention and sparked debates about its authenticity, and many were skeptical, and alternative explanations ranged from simple mistakes in identification to the effects of the sun or even exposure to a gas that affected their perceptions. Jourdain revisited Petit Trianon several times but never experienced the same events again. Moberly, however, claimed to see Marie Antoinette once more on a later visit. So,
okay.
Fascinating.
Yeah,
story.
No, extremely fascinating.
And very well documented for the time, which is super interesting.
Right. You know, the fact that they were able to really focus in on the experience, and also the fact that they released it under pseudonyms is interesting, because it suggests, A, that they weren't after the fame. You know,
yeah. Right.
And B, they themselves may have realized how crazy it sounded and didn't want it associated with them.
Right.
And so, you know, there's
that's probably what it is.
There's something interesting. You know, you're a serious academic, and it's like, no, I had this experience, but if I tell people, you know, my academic credentials might be, you know, called into question. It's interesting, because I want to say that one of the time slip stories that I had heard was during World War I, someone having very distinct time slip into World War II.
Oh. You know,
finding themselves in a battle that they did not recognize, and they were actually I want to say that they recognized the swastika in World War I as the symbol of this coming war.
Oh wow,
as a symbol that that would come up. And I was like, how interesting is that, and how disorienting is that? You know, because it did not take long between World War I and World War II. Was not a long time. But the advances in military technology, amazing.
Right.
Sure. You know, the difference between 1917 plane and a 1940s plane were, you know, staggering.
Heck yeah.
And so, yeah, you hear stories like that where people are in a situation. And I think that was one of the only ones that I really know about that was a future. Because future, like I said,
right.
I don't know many of the stories from the future. But if we believe in time slips, then when a person from the present goes to the past, it's actually the past receiving a visitor from the future. And I know there are a lot of stories about, like, wasn't there a body found? Or a person, man.
Yeah, I think I know chum out.
There was somebody who came and claimed that they were from the future, and yeah. all of their identification seemed to be from a place that
yes.
no one knew where it mm-hmm. was, and they were like, and then he just disappeared.
Yeah.
There was another one where somebody showed up and like just had stunningly accurate stock predictions, and then like disappeared the next day, like showed up, mm-hmm. cleaned up, disappeared.
That makes sense.
Oh yeah.
Now, the next one is referred to as the Vanishing Hotel, and this happened in the 1970s. So this also happened to two English couples. Traveling to France, claimed that they have stayed at a strangely old-fashioned hotel. When they tried to find it again on their way back, the hotel was nowhere to be found. And further research indicated no such hotel ever existed.
Oh.
Yeah.
Now we're dealing with something entirely different.
Right.
Goodness gracious.
The story of the Vanishing Hotel is another intriguing and lesser-known account, often grouped with tales of time slips. It's a story that blends elements of both time distortion and ghostly experiences. So the story goes that in the 1970s, the two couples, the Simpsons and the Gisbys, were traveling through France on their way to Spain. They decided to break their journey and find a place to stay overnight.
Simpsons, huh?
Simpsons.
That's weird.
Super weird.
Anyways.
That's super weird, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
for y'all, I'm sure the majority of listeners know, but they know. For anyone who doesn't.
Yeah, The Simpsons the Simpsons show is famous for predicting the future. So many episodes very concretely made reference to things that did come to pass.
Yeah, they Trump. They predicted mm-hmm. Trump, right?
Yeah, not they just predicted it. They literally had him coming down the escalator. They like mm-hmm. had the actual scenes from the future play out on the screen, and you're like, that's so weird.
That's so weird.
But after some searching, they found a motel that seemed oddly out of place. It appeared old-fashioned, resembling something from the 1900s rather than the 1970s. The rooms lacked modern amenities, and the windows had thick wooden shutters, a rarity for motels of the time. Odder still, their room had no phones. Now, other strange occurrences marked their story. They noticed that the other guests wore old-fashioned clothing. The next morning at the hotel restaurant, they were given coffee in bowls, not cups.
Bowls?
Yeah.
Coffee in bowls?
Yes.
That's how it used to be served.
What?
Yes.
Shut up.
And their bill was also unusually low for a night stay, even by 1970s standard. And so,
hold on, I'm still stuck on the bowl thing.
Yeah.
Coffee and bowls?
Coffee was like soup.
Why? What? Huh?
Well, you figure.
Can't be the only one that's like, what?
I'm a little confused as well.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I don't think that coffee was on par with tea at the time.
Okay.
Because tea was served in a teacup.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't think they put coffee in teacups.
That makes sense. It's
been a weird flex from the ancestors, but all right.
Yes. So
I'd drink a bowl of coffee. Are you kidding me?
I would.
Wake up with a bowl of coffee.
It's going to get cold so fast. It's going to get cold so fast.
You better get to slurping then.
Oh, God.
Yeah. And so on their return journey from Spain, the couples decided to stay at the same hotel again, probably because it was cheap. And so,
exactly. It cost 3 pennies.
Yes. And however, they couldn't locate it. The hotel, which had been so prominent on their way to Spain, was nowhere to be found.
Mm.
When the couples later tried to find the hotel on a map or through other records, they were unable to. Even the photographs they had taken of the hotel during their stay didn't develop.
Intriguing.
Mm-hmm. So, some
That's cool.
So some explanations. The most phantasmical explanation is that the couples experience a genuine time slip, momentarily transporting them into a different era. Mm-hmm. Some other people like to say that they... A more mundane explanation, I should say, is that they simply misremembered the location.
Boring.
Right. Or confused it with another establishment.
We can also say that they might have gone into another dimension entirely where people drink coffee out of bowls.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, the fact that you know, they could have gone into a completely different dimension.
Right. And then there's also the logic of memory distortion, fatigue, or other psychological factors, which that wouldn't make sense for all four of them to have the same memory.
Yeah, the fact that there was four of them does put it in a different category. Because when it's one person talking about it, it's like, well, then you could be influenced by anything. Like even the two women seem to be separated in Versailles.
Well, they both had the same memory, though. Like, their story was the exact same.
If dolphins in Savannah can eat on land, time slips can happen.
You're really having an existential crisis.
I'm just saying, man.
Your connection to aquatic life and time
slips.
There's
a connection there. I don't know.
You know, dolphins are mammals, right? They breathe air.
But they eat on land in Savannah.
They're the only dolphins in the world that hunt on land.
It's so cool. Yeah. It's the dopest thing.
If you didn't know that.
Yep.
It's true. But it's also because the Savannah River is mucky. You don't want to eat anything that's coming out of there.
Yeah, that's true. So the last one rationale for it is that with this type of story, there's always the possibility of establishment, misrepresentation, or even the tale being a complete fabrication. I don't even think that doesn't seem on the table to me. But regardless, that's just me. So
It's not even fantastical enough to fabricate.
Yeah.
It's just odd. It's just weird.
Exactly.
You know, because I don't even think they're like, we went back in time. They're just like, this is a weird place with weird things that happen weirdly. And there are plenty of weird places out there.
Yeah, especially the first story, like with Bold Street, it was so just, I'm not going to call it mundane because it's, you know, time slips, so it's never mundane. But like at the same time, it's like, you know, if he was making it up, wouldn't it have been like a, you know,
right.
Something
it
else
was the coronation day.
Store?
I saw the king. You know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
You would imagine that the embellishments would be greater.
There you go.
Than
that's what I was thinking.
I saw a department store that actually stood here 50 years ago.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
So overall, though, the Vanishing Hotel story, while it's not as famous as the Versailles or Bold Street incidents, it still remains very intriguing as a narrative within the time slip genre, if you will. Raising questions about the nature of time, memory, and our perception of reality, which I think all of this truly is, that's kind of the moral of this thing, is maybe question things a little bit more.
Right.
But also, it's just interesting. And if you
it's endlessly fascinating when it really comes down to it, because you can go down many different rabbit holes with time slips, because time slips are a question of perception. And then it's like, mm-hmm. Well, what we're perceiving in the present may be as tenuous as, you know, taking a step outside and being in 1917.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's an endlessly fascinating concept and discussion. And I think that it all came about because we were discussing at one point a haunting that had more elements of time slip than actual ghost.
Yep. Right.
You know, walking into a room and having like everything be different and things like that. And that is an interesting thing. Or somebody showing up and then showing up again just a few minutes later.
Right. And so if you guys have ever had a time slip type experience,
oh, yes.
Please send that in, because I would love to hear more about people's time slip experiences.
And since it came up, if you have very strong senses of deja vu, because it's possible that deja vu is a time slip situation as well, mm-hmm. or a glitch in the matrix.
Ooh. Yeah. Yeah. We had a listener one time associate mimics with time slips.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that was a part of that conversation as well.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and that's compelling as well. And not entirely out of the possibility that some mimics aren't, you know, not necessarily trying to deceive you into things, but the way that our understanding is of mimics is that it's in its own category, just like time slips are in their own category. And you don't typically interact with other people like that in time slips, is what I can tell.
Generally, you know, because you would think that there would be much more stories about somebody appearing out of nowhere in weird clothing, you know, on the street, especially in these places where it seems to happen regularly. You'd think that you would have heard all along that, you know, this street in Liverpool keeps seeing people show up and they're weirdly dressed and they seem very disoriented and confused and then they disappear.
Yeah.
So it's possible that when you experience a time slip, you're invisible to, you know, the people of the era. You would think that there would be more stories like that. Although there are plenty of, and you'll see them, you know, there are lots of is this a photograph of a time traveler? Where you see somebody who seems to be wearing like a modern shirt in an old photograph. I want to say there's someone in a Charlie Chaplin movie who seems to be holding up a cell phone to their head. There's a lot of those things. And so I'm sure there's an explanation, but there is something strange about it. One of the most interesting ones, I think, is that a Muhammad Ali fight? Someone's holding up what very much looks like an iPhone.
Really?
As if they're taking a picture.
Oh, that's crazy.
And it's
that's
just like, I don't know what it is, but it really raises a question. You're like, oh, is time tourism coming on its way?
Tourism?
Are we going to be time tourists at some point?
You hear
point?
That, Elon?
Oh, God.
Get on it, bud.
I will not get in an Elon Musk time machine.
that's pushing it a little bit. But but regardless, though, it is just an interesting topic. And one that is not super well explored. So it's interesting to just throw around theories. Because, again, some people don't like to have their reality disoriented, if you will. And so some people just want to leave it at psychology or deja vu or whatever you want to believe in.
Yeah, I feel like the listeners of this show might.
You never might know.
Might be on the.
You never know.
But other end. It's fascinating just to take into consideration. I mean, again, just dealing in theory, challenge your perception, challenge reality. I mean, I find it fascinating that. There seems to be this groundswell of manifestation. You know, people are always talking about, you know, how to manifest your wealth and how to manifest, you know, the life you want to live. Meditate and things like that. Turns out that many of these practices were practices long, long ago, mm-hmm. where it was about seeking an enlightenment and seeking an internal path to what you want, because we had far more sway over reality than we were trained to believe. So maybe our reality, while it is a consensus, you can alter it through dedication of thought and meditation.
And a lot of that came to be popularized, and most people don't realize it, is through, there was a book about law of attraction.
Sure.
That really made that a popular thought, is like, if you think about something enough, even if you don't want that thing in your life, like saying like, man, I really hate speeding tickets. And you keep thinking about how you're going to get a speeding ticket. Eventually you'll get a speeding ticket, even though you didn't want it, but you kept dwelling on those thoughts. So that's really the basis of the law of attraction.
One of those really fascinating things, if you've ever read or looked at Messages in Water, there's a lot in that I think applies, which is where they like had a glass of water that they labeled love and a glass of water that they labeled hate. And they basically spoke words of love to one glass and words of hate to the other glass. And then when they froze the water, they looked at the ice formations, and the ice formations of the love glass, beautiful, pristine crystals. The hate glass was marred and bizarre and malformed. And we are mostly water. So if you're sitting out there down on yourself, talking hate to yourself, you are altering your actual chemical makeup. It's a fascinating thing. And, you know, I don't know how much I invest in it, but it's such an interesting concept.
Yeah. So we can do a whole different episode on law of attraction.
Yeah, absolutely.
And things like that. But so let us know if you would like to hear that. But regardless, though, thank you guys so much for listening to today's episode. Of course, if you have a ghost story that you want to send in or a time slip story, you can send it to ghostmail@hauntedcitypodcast.com. That's where we are going to pull all of those sort of things to share on the show. So if you want to make sure that we see it, it's best to send it to the email. But with that, my name is Madison Timmons.
I'm Chris Soucy.
And stay spooky, y'all.